This is Sugandhi Iyer for the Good Fortune Show. How are you doing? Good fortune. Why is it so important? Because it determines a person's path, it determines a person's life story. Story. So a person's story can be different depending on how fortunate a person is in everything that he does. So fortune is important because, well, that's why they say somebody's so fortunate, he's so fortunate, he's so fortunate in this, he's so fortunate in that. And the reason I start off this way many times, explaining why good fortune is important, is to let everybody know that it is important. It is important. And to belittle it, to reduce its importance, is basically a disservice to oneself. When one belittles or reduces the importance of fortune, good fortune, one is basically not helping oneself. And isn't our most important duty to help oneself? Isn't it something that one owes oneself first and foremost? Even in cars, they say, oh my God, you need to tie your seatbelt first. You need to tie your seatbelt first. And on airplanes, make sure that your seatbelt is fastened. Because if somebody doesn't ensure one's good fortune, first and foremost, how can he be of service to someone else? And excuse me if I'm wrong about the fact of course, you're supposed to put on the seatbelt of your kids and everything. But I think the thing that they're saying is secure yourself first. And when you do that, you can help others. And when one is able to help oneself first and ensure that one's good fortune is in good condition, great condition, that is the best service he can do for himself and his family and close friends, maybe a company that they work for. It could be anybody. But without securing oneself first when one goes out and starts to help others, and we spoke about this last time in the Joyful Manifestation Show, where we spoke about one's aura needing to be very strong. And that one's aura is first, the first and foremost task is to be strong enough for oneself. And that one shouldn't take on a burden greater than one's aura slash energy can support. That's what we spoke about in the Joyful Manifestation Show last week. And you can always go listen to the show. It's up on the BBS Joyful Manifestation Show page. It's up. You can go listen to it. Because no matter how many times people tell you that, okay, you need to take care of yourself first. Take care of yourself first. A lot of people forget that. They forget it. It's out the window. The words are spoken by a well-intentioned person, maybe a parent slash parent, sorry, parents, and maybe a sibling, maybe somebody else, a well-meaning boss, a well-meaning associate. And then people forget it. The words are spoken, it's gone out of their heads in a few seconds almost. And then the energy rises in them to do something. People here need to know that everybody's a puppet. Everyone in this world is a puppet. Puppet of this or puppet of that. So when something's happening in the world and people get caught up in it and they think they have free will, no, they're just being puppets. They're just being puppets. They're just instruments of a greater force. And when I say a greater force, I don't mean a greater force in a good way, but a force that is stronger in whatever way that it is. And people become puppets of that force, of that energy. And it's not free will that they're using. In order to use free will, one needs to be an observer only and not a participator. An observer of things, the best way, of course, is to ignore it all, correct? The second step, if you cannot ignore it all, just be an observer, stay out of it, do not participate. Because one owes oneself the greatest service, or the greatest service is to oneself. And because the Joyful Manifestation Show and the Good Fortune Show wants to help that one starfish and wants to bring to that starfish attention to himself or herself. What am I doing? This is the question. What am I doing? Is it helping me? Is it going to help me? And since we're concerned only about you, then we're saying be selfish. Take care of yourself. Put on your seatbelt. And again, I really don't remember if they really say, okay, you know what, first tie yours and then others. I'm not sure about that, okay? But I'm just using it to explain that if you're okay, then others can be okay. That's it. And so when I see people are just puppets, it's just what it is. It's just like ants following the team leader ant. Bees following the queen bee. All are under the leadership of something that is driving people. And we want these shows, the Joyful Manifestation Show and the Good Fortune Show, because the purpose is to bring you good fortune. And how can these shows bring you good fortune if everybody is getting themselves into trouble? Right? So we have to say, don't get yourself into trouble. Take care of yourself. Go back and listen to the Joyful Manifestation Show of the last week. And also the June 21st, no, the June 21st, right, Good Fortune Show, where I spoke about UK and I spoke about how the people are pushing abundance away before the elections. I spoke about that. I spoke about when people get rid of good fortune energy and the imprisonment and all that stuff. It's there in the June 21st show. I was listening to it yesterday. Like, I spoke about these things in that show. And so please do go and listen to that show if you want to just touch base with everything. When one rejects good fortune and when one rejects good fortune and one rejects great stuff, what happens is, and that was the phone. When one rejects good fortune and one rejects great stuff, one takes oneself out of great, good energy. And when that happens, when we take ourselves out of good energy, then let's say Fictitious Jane can become the target of other energies because her aura is wide open. And that's why they say in the energy world, you need to shield yourself, you need to shield yourself. You need to shield yourself, is what they say. And some people put white light around themselves. There are others who have different methods to shield themselves. And they teach you that, okay, you need to shield yourself. Even in pranic healing and Reiki, they ask that while doing a reading, even a psychic or a Reiki healer or a pranic healer is not supposed to take on the energy of the people that they heal. They're not supposed to take it on. In fact, in Reiki, they don't even use their own energy. Everything is done by the Reiki energy, which exists for that purpose. And in pranic healing, yes, the first time they do cleanse people out with their own hands. They do that. So there is that amount of contamination happening, but they dispose that energy into a pranic healing fire. They use salt water, crystals. But then when they replace the energy, they replace it from an outside source. They do not replace it with their own energy. So people who are interested in such things, they know, oh, we need to not get contaminated by other people's energies, and we should not be using our own energy. We can only use universal energy for that purpose. And then there are many guardian angels and masters whose aura, whose energy comes to help. But then pranic healers, Reiki healers, angel readers, psychic readers, they know all of these things. And many of them take credit, they take care. But people in the world, they don't know this. They don't understand that they're contaminating their own auras with the energies of other people. And everybody in the world is at a different karmic level. They say that there are people in the world that actually represent different types of animals. Human form, but consciousness of a different type of animal, of different animals. They say. And I have come across people with different types of consciousness. You know how you when you meet a person, like, why does he think like this? I don't think like this. Why does he act like this? So if that is the case, and there are so many people in the world, then how can one person take responsibility for different categories of people? I mean, how do you know how they're going to act? They could be acting as per their response system, survival mechanism, consciousness, different categories of things that I'm talking about, but ultimately the same. A person reacts and responds as per his birth / upbringing and basic consciousness that exists in that person, which of course goes back to birth. And then you have the birth and the genetics and all of these things. So how can one person take responsibility for a whole bunch of people when each person could be reacting in a different way as per his program? And then all of these people are part of a greater force. And each force is of a different type. So you basically have a force of a certain type, which has a certain leadership, a leadership type. And then you have groups below that, under the umbrella of that force. And there are different types of forces in the world. And all these forces are busy playing themselves out right now, as we speak. It's happened in the past, it's happening now. And then people become puppets of these forces. And where is the free will in all of this? Where is the free will? Is the free will that, oh, I'm going to join this force, I'm going to work for this force? Is that the free will? You know, when someone makes a selection like that, one is actually, the person is not using free will. The person is still a puppet being drawn into situations. And then it goes back to, is the person strong enough? Is the person's aura strong enough to handle that? We spoke about this in the Joyful Manifestation show the last time about Elon Musk, and is his aura strong enough? He's so lucky personally. Touch wood. That's awesome. But is his aura strong enough to take everything that's happening in the world? You know, that's another question. I'm not going to say whether he is or he is not, but this is something he needs to think about. And each person needs to think about it for themselves. And know that free will starts when one is free of all the forces that could be drawing one in, into anything. Free will starts when somebody can stand still and make decisions, free of any type of a pressure or reaction to situations, because then, even then, one is still being a puppet. And you know, if you have family, you need to explain this to them. Stand still. Don't do anything. And nobody's trying to say that you need to be a coward, but there are other methods that we can use, right? We all can use different methods. It doesn't have to be the same method that everybody else is using in the world. And by method, I mean, well, somebody would have to contact me to ask me. But there are different ways that people can solve things if somebody really wants to solve something. But for sure, one needs to tie one seatbelt. Put it on. In India, it's absolutely amazing. I'm sure the gods and angels work here overtime. Correct? Because four people to five people on a bike. Oh, yes. Parents and two or three kids. And if you take out one kid, maybe a dog along with that. Sometimes it's three, sometimes it's five, sometimes it's two, which is fine. And all zipping around, they'll just come out of nowhere. Your car is heading straight, okay? So let's say my car is heading straight, and it's an SUV, one that I drive the most is an SUV. So heading straight, and someone, even while the car is moving, will come from the left and cut in front of my car and go towards my right from the front. Now, how is he, how, and he's just probably a foot or two away from my car. How is he able to calculate precisely my momentum? How does he know that he's going to make it to the right side of my car? Like, come from the, like, he'll be going on the left, right? I mean, left, and then take a sudden cut in front of the car while my car is moving and go to the right. I mean, wow. That's some level of confidence. Of course, since I'm basically well trained, I'm careful. I don't do anything that American driving methods have not taught me. And they always teach that we need to not just be right. Like, even if we're right and the other person is wrong, we still need to be careful. We still need to be careful. Even if we're right and the other driver is wrong, we still need to be careful. And that's so well ingrained in me because of years and years and years of driving on US roads. It watches out for me. And of course, okay, they might, honk and say, "Look, move. What are you doing?" Like, "No, I'm standing and I'm watching. I'm going to move and I think it's right for me to move." And not a second before, you can honk all you want, put all the pressure. But I'm not going to do anything I'm not supposed to do. But that's all the training that's gone into my mind because of years, years of following that. So good fortune. Good fortune comes to people who look out for themselves and take and make decisions that promote one's good fortune. I need to be fine. I want to be fine. I love being fine. I'm going to do what's good for me. I'm going to bring good fortune to myself and my family. And I will not be pressured. I will not be pressured to do anything. And trust me, when you have a lot of people honking behind you, because they all want to whiz around in different crazy directions, right? Not wondering, okay, I'm really not supposed to be cutting this person. I mean, how can I predict that this person's going to be able to press on their brakes? No, they don't care. They just want to whiz by and whiz through and whiz here and whiz there, right? And like I said, it's still fine because there's a lot of divine energy here. Fantastic amount of divine energy going on over here in India. Trust me, compared to the population, with all of this going on over here, the gods are really, really working. And there's a lot of divine energy over here. It's just abundance of divine energy. Amazing attitude. Amazing people. Awesome spirituality. Just amazingness. But of course, like I said, one needs to take care of one's good fortune. And if one has the good fortune of having great parents and great family and have been taught how to drive well, even in India, I learned here. I learned here. And so I was taught well, though. My parents taught me well, everything. And then it continued in the US. You know, they're very, very clear. It doesn't matter if the other person is wrong. You still need to be careful. And then what happens is, what is the intention behind all of this? The intention is that people continue with their good fortune, the great way that we're brought up, the amazing things that we have, the amazing things that you have. Think about that. Oh, I have this amazing thing. I have that amazing thing. This amazingness is going on in my life. That amazingness is going on in my life. And I'm not going to let anything interfere with that. Because if I'm fine, my family is going to be fine and everything is going to be fine. So I would say, don't shake the foundation of the good fortune you already have. Fictitious Jane should not shake the foundations of the good fortune she already has and keeps on taking risks. Keep on taking risks, wondering how long her good fortune is going to last. Like, it's like gambling with one's good fortune. And a great example is when one goes to a casino. We all go with, the wise ones. We go with just so much money. I go with $5. Las Vegas resident and everything, $5. Max 20. I don't go beyond that. If I've lost my first $5 and $20, I'm out of there. I'm out of there. And I'm not taking a risk with more. I walk away. So, however, if one keeps on taking risk with one's good fortune, like continues to take risk with it, it has to be a deliberate risk, like this much and not more, if one really wants to take a risk. So $5, $20, and not more. Or $100, you know, if somebody wants to be really splurging, okay, $100, that's it. And not more. And then when one takes the deliberate risk, but it's only with so much and not more, then one knows how much one has to spare. And beyond that, they stand still. Like, no, that's it. I'm not taking a risk with my good fortune, the ability of my good fortune to see me through and stand by me. And when one comes from that place, that we're all here to build our good fortune, not get rid of it. Right? The people who get rid of their fortunes, like literally. I know this person who, or heard of this person, I haven't met this person. He lost a lot of money on business, like huge amount, much more than he can afford. See, if somebody has a few billion sitting around, dollars, and they say, you know, I'm taking a risk with this 1 billion. Correct? That's still okay. I mean, you know, he has a lot of billions to spare and he's taking a risk with this 1 billion or 2 billion. Fine, put that money and take the risk. do what you want to do with it. Put it in some other company and see if it works out. But when one doesn't have that kind of money, borrows more money, and then takes a risk with that. Or this is all he has, and he takes a risk with that. He takes a risk with that. Or this is all he has, and let's say he has $100,000. He takes $80,000 and takes a risk with that. So a person who has $100,000 has a good fortune of having $100,000 already. He needs to be building on that, not getting rid of it. And so on and so forth with one's homes, cars, family, everything. And one needs to know that one is on an upward climb. So one needs to know one's direction. Oh, where am I going? How has my past few months been? How has my past year been? Am I on an upward climb? And if I want to take a risk, how much of my good fortune can I put down towards the risk? And then is it that I'm risking only money? Because money comes, and one, even if somebody has risked all their money, if they learn the lesson, they can start to make money again, right? But people take risks with all kinds of things. With all kinds of things. Something that they can't replace. Even money can be replaced. So people who went through all those Wall Street losses and everything, I just want to tell those people, whoever is listening, if somebody has lost money, a huge amount of money, don't let that bring you down. I'm talking of the fictitious Janes and Johns out there. Don't let that bring you down because you can always make money. It's not the be all and end all of everything. You can always make more money. Now, I'm saying point one, don't take a risk with a huge amount of your money. That's point one. Make sure that if you have a few million, like let's say if somebody has 5 million and they really want to take a risk with 1 million, sure, go ahead. But cap it. That's it. That's a cap. And if I haven't had a return, I haven't seen anything come from that 1 million that I've put, I'm walking away. So the ability to walk away. What is that song about, the gambling song? There's a song, you're supposed to know when you fold it, when you're supposed to know when you are supposed to walk away. And so a person's supposed to know when they're supposed to walk away and should have the ability to be able to walk away if they're taking a risk with their money. But I'm saying to those people who have already risked all their money and it's gone, cancel the word gone. Know that don't get despondent. Know that you can get it back. Just restart your good fortune energy first before you give up. Despondency, give up. Don't give up. It's just money, it'll come back. Start the energy of your good fortune going. Get your good fortune energy back on track. And then continue with the money, making money. But for people who could be listening, who have lost some money, point one is don't lose money. So that's the first point. If you have a lot of good fortune, retain most of it and put just a tiny amount, a small amount that you want to risk. Put a cap on it. and walk away. Know when to walk away. So that's point one. Point two is for those people who did not listen to the show before or did not know the principles or still don't know it, if there has been a loss of a lot of money, more than one is able to bear or risk losing, don't lose heart. Don't get despondent. We're here to support you. Just reverse it. Do a reversal. And how can you do a reversal? That's by building your good fortune energy first. Know that what has happened is a direct result of not having enough good fortune energy, not having enough joyful manifestation energy to support your projects. So first work on the good fortune energy, the joyful manifestation energy. Get that running. See how your luck is working out for you in other life areas. Once you're able to see that my good fortune is working, I'm doing well, then go ahead with more investments or more career-related decisions. And one can always start small again. But what I'm saying is don't give up. Money can come back anytime. All you need to do, and I know I'm just saying all you need to do, and for a lot of people it's not so simple. But once you get into that good fortune energy and the joyful manifestation energy, it's like a separate pipeline through which this particular energy is running. It's going to help. It's going to serve you. It's going to do everything for you. You literally tell it what to do. Okay, good fortune energy, go do this for me. Okay, joyful energy, I would like to have this to personal genie. And it works for you. And where love is concerned, the same principles apply. But we were talking last time in the Joyful Manifestation show, in the soulmate manifestation section, we didn't get much time, like maybe 4, 5, 6 minutes, who knows. I got a warning. Okay, you need to sign off. Fine. No problem. But we said we will continue this time with a little bit of love. And in soulmate manifestation, when a person does things in one's own way, not following the process of soulmate manifestation, which has been put into place by the creation forces, even for soulmate manifestation to work, there is a method. And we were talking about people using their own will and fancy to do things. It's there in the last week's Joyful Manifestation show. When one does that, and when one uses one's own will and fancy to do things, then the results that one gets is still going to be as per the laws and rules laid out for soulmate manifestation to work well. It's still going to be that. this is Sugandhi. I heard that they lost connection with me. So basically, I'm again traveling and I'm again in some kind of a forest type rural area. And so sorry for the up and down. And that's what they told me. Your connection's going really bad. So they tested me out. They said, okay, this is fine. And I hope it's fine. But we were talking about people who want to use their own methods for manifestation, whether it's soulmate manifestation or money manifestation. But whatever method they want to use, it has to be as per the law of attraction principles. Like attracts like. Like attracts like. And so if the principles don't work, there's going to be a problem. It's not going to work. Because the energy that one is flowing, the vibes that one is flowing, is what is going to come back. And so what I'm saying is that when we're using soulmate manifestation, we have to know that the soulmate is a reflection of where we are, a mirror. And when the soulmate is a mirror, the soulmate is going to mirror what is going on in our internal world, our psyche, who we are, who we think we are. So when you hear stories of a man who rejects a woman and she feels empowered, she gets empowered and says, I don't need any more men. I'm empowered now. She's not exactly using soulmate manifestation. She's using self-empowerment. So she may feel better herself, which is good. One needs to feel good. One needs to feel good about oneself. But it's not that a person is actually using the soulmate manifestation laws. She's still, after feeling better, after feeling empowered, she still needs to go back to her drawing board. And also figure out, okay, so now I feel better about myself. But how am I going to continue with manifesting the soulmate? And so when she re-manifests her soulmate or starts the process of manifesting her soulmate again, she should make sure that she's not just using her own whims and fancies. So I'm feeling this way now, so this is how I'm going to be. Or I'm feeling this way now, so this is how I'm going to be. Her response should be vis-a-vis the situation, not just how she feels about a situation. Because a person can feel a particular way about a situation, but then may not actually take the right actions and have the right thoughts for continued soulmate manifestation. And one has to have the energy of good fortune running there also. So basically, one is not saying, okay, I feel angry today. I feel upset. And because I feel angry and upset, and it could be the fault of the soulmate, don't get me wrong. Nobody's blaming Patricia Jane here. But she, if she says, because I feel angry and because I feel upset, I'm going to project my anger and my upset. And anyway, it's going to get projected. What does it do? It goes and hits the soulmate. Energy travels really fast. And it's going to hit the soulmate. And then the soulmate is feeling unpleasant. He's not feeling good about fictitious Jane. And if he doesn't feel good about fictitious Jane, there's going to be fight or flight, the survival mechanism. Because there's no guarantee that the soulmate, fictitious John, is going to receive fictitious Jane's energy and then be all, okay, so I know soulmate manifestation myself, and that the energy that I could be receiving from fictitious Jane could be false energy, and I need to use soulmate manifestation rules and act accordingly. Because there's no guarantee fictitious John is going to know soulmate manifestation. It's always upon the person who's using the method to ensure both sides. And why does he need to ensure both sides? Because it's his personal love karma. It's fictitious Jane's her. It's fictitious Jane's personal love karma that she has to fix. And as a result, she needs to take care of herself. She needs to take care of the thoughts that she's having. She needs to take care of the energy that she's projecting. And not depend on fictitious John to fix it. Because everything starts from oneself. And fictitious John is just reacting or responding to the energies that he feels around. So if let's say fictitious Jane is feeling very insecure and not very fortunate about love, that is what she's going to project. And as she projects that, fictitious John receives it and acts accordingly. He may start to push fictitious Jane away. He may stop communication. And lack of communication is the biggest hurdle that people have in soulmate manifestation. Why did he stop communicating with me is what they ask themselves. Why? Like, what did I do? I didn't even talk to him. We haven't had a conversation. And he just stopped communicating with me. He doesn't text me often. He doesn't ask me how I am, what is happening. It's because fictitious Jane's energy has been talking to fictitious John without her knowledge. And fictitious Jane's insecurities have been going out, hitting fictitious John. Fictitious John that then doesn't feel so good about the whole situation. He starts to feel weird. Then he can, I'm saying he can. There are some people who come forward and try to solve things, but many people start to become like a recluse. They just kind of go into their own cave and they don't come out. Or they seek different partners or different ways. So when one goes with one's own whims and fancies about how one feels, oh, this is how I feel today. Oh, this is how I'm going to be so rude. Or I'm going to ignore him. Or I'm going to try to make him jealous. I'm going to make him think that I have someone else in my life. Wow. It can work for a certain time, like making somebody jealous can work for a little bit. But then after a bit, men like to think that, okay, I need a woman who can love me and me only. Because they may not know that, fictitious Jane's trying to make him jealous. So when one uses one's own mind to think through things and act according to how one feels in that moment, then one is not using soulmate manifestation methods. And then the results are not so great and beneficial. And so on and so forth with everything in life. That one has great energy going for oneself in all life areas, money, love, everything. When that happens, when one first pays attention to one's good fortune energy, and then using that handles different life areas, it's a very, very different deal. And feel safe and feel motivated if you wish. But even when you're feeling motivated, it has to be from the space of, I know I'm doing good. I'm really doing good. I'm attracting good. I'm attracting great. I'm in great good fortune energy. I got my 3 minutes warning and I have to sign off. We will be meeting again for the Joyful Manifestation Show next Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I want to wish you a fantastic rest of the week and a wonderful rest of the day. This is Sugandhi Iyer signing off for The Good Fortune Show.